Brian. He's like, you walk into a bar, any bar in Knoxville.
It's playing.
You walk in, boom, Mo Bamba. You go up to the bar, you get a beer. 5 minutes later, you drink like half of that beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. You finish that beer, you go to the bathroom, you go back to the bar to get another beer. Boom, Mo Bamba. It's Mo Bamba, Mo Bamba, and Mo Bamba.
What's that song called again?
Mo Bamba.
Hour two of overtime coming at you live here, Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, FM 105.7, AM 1340 here in Knoxville, streaming on Fan Run app and at fanrunradio.com as well. We're coming to you live on video on Periscope. So many ways to consume this lovely content, which you have one more hour of until we are done. But hey, stay tuned here because right after Tennessee and Ole Miss concludes, which should be, again, about 11:15 if everything ends in regulation, Voluntary Reaction will be on right after that. You can listen to Russell tonight. He will be on with Hayden Wallen producing. I don't know if anyone else is going to join them. Usually it's a two-man thing during basketball season. But Voluntary Reaction coming up post-game Tennessee Ole Miss. Be sure to get it on your Fan Run app because I'm sure since it's going to be such a late night, we will be going app only. So be sure to tune in to that. We're kicking off hour number two. I'm Tanner Carson. I'm joined by Tucker Holt here, who is filling in for Justin Feist, who is probably eating some really good food down there at the Tommy Bowl as we speak. That nice little pregame meal they do for all the employees there because he is on camera duty for the game tonight. So Tucker graciously filled in on the board here, and we do appreciate him doing so. A little golf clap for you, Tucker.
Happy to be here.
All right. Well, we got one more hour to go here. Pro Bowl coming up this weekend. I never watched the Pro Bowl, ever.
I probably won't since my team won't be playing in it.
That's also true, and that's also a nice little, happy
oh, yeah.
For you.
Feels good. After hearing John talk for weeks, feels good.
That you did have to feel really vindicated, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, it was triumphant, just feeling that. It was good.
Poor John walked in here yesterday, voice gone, tired, defeated.
It just had to thaw out. I mean, it was cold up there in Kansas City.
Didn't he say, can you confirm this or not, didn't he say he'd be wearing like long underwear for the first time since he was a kid?
I believe it was the first time in his life.
Has he ever been outside when it's cold before?
I may be wrong. He may have said since a kid, but I believe I had to like tell him that they were really good. Like, he asked me if they worked, and I told him, yeah, they're great.
It's a must. I mean, yeah. Lord, it's a must. If you're going to be outside for a while in like the 40s, it's a must almost.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I went to the Garth Brooks concert at Neyland in November. Yeah. I wore long underwear.
I'd say it was cold, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was very cold. It was so cold. I couldn't imagine being up there in Kansas City when, the high was 24 on Sunday?
The feels like was 5. Yeah, it was blistering cold.
Yeah, no thank you. I think I'm like a nice pair of thermal underwear. Then you have your regular underwear. You double sock for sure.
Double sock is a must.
Wear some nice duck boots or something that's going to keep you warm. Nice pair of jeans, obviously. And then, I mean, how many layers up top would you go?
I would definitely go like...
Because you got to start with Under Armour, like thermal.
The long sleeve Under Armour thermal.
Yes.
You throw on a short sleeve t-shirt over that.
Yes.
And then you have maybe a giant winter jacket.
Or maybe
even a hoodie over that.
Yeah, I would. Winter jacket's good. Well, I was going to say do hoodie and then do leather jacket.
There you go.
Get you a nice leather jacket on top of that.
Yes.
Hot hands, obviously, inside your gloves.
Have to have
too.
Them.
Actually, I tell you what, it'd help your feet situation too. You can get like the hot hands they have for your feet.
Yeah, they also, I saw someone tweeted at John before he went. They sell electric socks. Like electrically heated socks.
What?
They run off batteries.
That is
amazing.
I love science now.
Yeah.
What the hell?
That's 2020.
That's amazing. Okay, I need to invest in those. How much do those go for, you think?
I don't think they were even that expensive.
Look that up for me while I transition to the Pro Bowl here. So definitely Pro Bowl is going to be in a place that's not going to be as cold as Kansas City for sure. A lot of people do not watch the Pro Bowl. I completely understand it. It's really bad football. It is really bad football, like most All-Star games. A lot of it's really unwatchable unless you just absolutely love to see it. But the NFL is going to try out a new rule tweak that's at least probably going to get enough people interested that might make them stick around to watch most of the game here. So they are going to change the kickoff rules for the Pro Bowl to kind of tinker with it a little bit here. And the rule that they're going to test out this Sunday with the Pro Bowl, they are going to, let's see, what is everything here? Let me just click on this link from NFL Officiating because this story is not being forwarded about it. They're kind of burying the lead here. Here we go, from NFL Officiating. So they're actually doing two rule changes. So here's going to be the first one. So options after a successful field goal or try attempt. So, says the scoring team, Team A, has the following options. One, Team A may elect to give Team B the ball at the B team 25-yard line, first and 10, beginning a new series of downs. Number two, the team may elect to take the ball at their own 25-yard line for 4th and 15. If Team A is successful in making a first down, Team A will maintain possession and a new series of downs will continue as normal. If Team A is unsuccessful in making a first down, the result will be a turnover on downs and Team B will take possession at the dead ball spot.
Whoa.
So it looks like, what are they trying to do, get rid of an onside kick attempt?
Onside kicks aren't even really, I would say they're not that dangerous, are they? Like, the danger is from the actual, like, kickoff, where you kick it to the end zone and you bring it out and you're hitting each other full speed.
They're just trying to completely get rid of the kickoff. I mean, that's what they were going to do eventually anyway.
You think kickers are, like, outraged over this? Like, they're getting phased out unless you're an actual field goal kicker.
I mean, there are those kickers on teams which really get mainly used for kickoffs.
Yeah, kickoff specialists. Like,
I would be furious.
No, I would be. Yeah, you're getting...
If you're a returner who mainly does returns, if you're like a wide receiver or like a DB who you mostly see the field in kickoff return, I'd be mad too.
Yeah.
I'd be more mad if I was them. I think you have more of a chance to stay on a roster if you're a kicker than if you're someone you know, like that. Especially if
you're like a fifth or sixth string wide receiver and you're just fast and you can return.
And your value as a player comes from kickoff return. I mean, you think of it like the monetary value as well.
Yeah.
I'd be more mad if I was them. But they are tweaking some things, seeing how it's going to go about. Pro Bowl definitely has a history in doing this. If you remember 2013, they didn't have a kickoff in 2013. Yeah. So,
which I can kind of understand in the Pro Bowl. Like, I don't see it. I don't think it would work in an actual game. But in the Pro Bowl, like, it's mostly just for fun. You don't want people to get hurt. I get it, but it doesn't really feel like a real football game when they do that.
So, yeah, I have looked up more of this. This is a confirmed trying to tweak the onside kick, pretty much, trying to basically...
I didn't know there was a problem with the onside kick.
I didn't know either. I really did not know either. So, yeah, once a coach decides to either give his opponent the ball or to try a 4th and 15 to maintain possession after a score... That decision is final regardless of ensuing penalties or timeouts. The league's football operations department provided a further breakdown of new rules, which I kind of read about on Twitter here. One of the things that the Pro Bowl did last year was, do you remember that they narrowed the width of the goalpost from 18 feet to 14 feet? They had a more narrow goalpost.
I had forgot about that, but yeah.
That's what they did last year. Other rule differences from regular games in past years include 2-minute warnings in each quarter, a 35-second, 25-second play clock, the game clock beginning after an incomplete pass at the ref's signal outside the last 2 minutes of the first half, or last 5 minutes of the second half, and similar game clock rules. So, going to tweak the onside kick here. And also, the second one, has to do with false starts. So, it is not a false start if a flexed, eligible receiver in a two-point stance who flinches or picks up one foot, as long as his other foot remains partially on the ground, and he resets for 1 second prior to the snap. A receiver who fits this exception is not considered to be in motion for purposes of the illegal shift rules. It is a false start if all 11 offensive players have been set for at least one full second and any flexed eligible receiver breaks his stance by picking up both feet. That was a lot to follow, I know.
Okay.
But just a little tweak there about pre-snap motion, basically. I don't think that's going to
matter. So if the offense is set and you do it, it's still a false start.
They say it's a false start if all 11 players have been set for at least one full second and any flexed eligible receiver breaks his stance by picking up both feet.
Both feet. Okay, yes. I missed that. Okay.
That is a false start, and they have this long explanation if it's not a false start. I really don't care about that one.
Yeah, that one's not that big a deal. You don't really see a ton of false starts out of wide receivers anyway. You're supposed to be looking at the football.
I like a whole lot of pre-snap motion anyway, so yeah. that makes it more fun to watch, in my opinion. I mean, you're a Chiefs fan. You know all the
I know all about the jet motion and all that good stuff.
Like Travis Kelce is like never set before like a snap.
Ever. His feet are shuffling every
time. Always shuffling, so it's fine with me.
It doesn't really matter.
But they're messing with this onside kick, trying to phase it out. Would you like the idea if you're a coach to try to keep possession, you have to force a 4th-and-15 attempt from your opponent? Would you? I think, honestly, I don't know the stats on this, but I think you have a better shot at getting possession back if you go with the 4th-and-15 easily.
Especially, not to toot my own horn as a Chiefs fan, but the type of offense we run, that deep threat, speed, I would much rather take the 4th-and-15 over an onside kick. Kicks
absolutely.
Are like a 5% absolutely. Chance at the most. Maybe. I mean, they never happen, especially in the NFL.
No.
4th-and-15s happen. That happens.
What's the stats about, like, even, especially if an opponent knows an onside kick is coming, like, if you're trying to do a miraculous comeback, yeah, you have a single-digit chance of getting that ball back.
Yeah.
You know what? And I love the kickoff, you know, just as a fan. I don't want to see it go. I like this.
It's not a bad rule.
This actually.
It's not, and the stakes are really high though, because if you don't get that 15 yards, you get it on your. They get it on your 25.
Let me go through it again.
Is that what that was? Or wherever, say you get 10 yards, they get it on the 35.
If your opponent is successful in making the first down, let's see. No, I read it wrong. So it says if Team A is successful in making a first down, they will maintain possession, and a new series of downs will continue as normal. Okay.
And if they don't get it, then Team B will get it where the ball was dead.
Yes.
So they get it deep in enemy territory.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's high stakes. Like, that's game over.
Yeah, they take possession at the dead ball spot.
Ooh.
So, yeah, instead of going for an onside kick, this rule for the Pro Bowl is you can elect to send your offense back out on the field at your own 25 to convert 4th-and-15. So if you got if your quarterback got sacked,
oh, you're inside like the 15,
at least.
Yeah,
that's also very risky. I like the idea, but it's also very risky. Or if you just have an incomplete pass, your opponent takes over at the 25.
And if they're up a touchdown with like 2 minutes left, kick field goal.
It's over.
You win.
Versus what, getting it near midfield or whatever?
Yeah, you would get it.
No, you get, yeah.
You get it about the 50, yeah, because the front line on kickoff lines up on the 50.
Yeah, so you're a whole lot closer there. Okay. Well, that's fine. I like it.
So, I mean, it skews in the direction of both, really.
Yes.
It's easier for both. Not easier, but the stakes are higher, but if you do get it, then you're much better off.
Yeah, when I first saw that they were tinkering with the rules, I kind of rolled my eyes like, oh,
yeah,
here we go. What type of wacky stuff are they going to come up with? But, I mean, you've been seeing even other football leagues trying to make the whole kickoff, you know, just the whole concept of it a whole lot different. Think about what the Alliance did last year. XFL is going to do different things to tinker with it next month, so if you're the NFL, why not? Why not? See what happens. But again, you just ran through the quick list of some stuff they've done past Pro Bowls, and they didn't adopt it as a full rule change for the upcoming season. So sometimes an experiment is just an experiment.
Just to see how it looks on the field in a game that nobody really cares about the result of.
And again, since it's replacing onside kick, I mean, is this even going to happen during the Pro Bowl? Unless it's like a close game at the end?
That's true. I mean,
will we even see it?
When was the last time an onside kick was kicked in the Pro Bowl?
I don't know.
Ever?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
So we might not even see this.
It's just a rule they've just proposed that's not going
to
probably happen.
One of the teams will probably do it just to do it.
Just to.
It's the Pro Bowl after
all. Roger Goodell is going to send a guy down and say,
it's the Pro Bowl after all. Go ahead and experiment. Well, let's go ahead and hit the first break of hour two. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Back with more overtime after this. Well, we are back here in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, and we have a special guest in studio here. We have a wild tea carp who has made his presence felt here, popping in the studio for the rest of the show. Tea carp, welcome into overtime, my friend.
Tanner, what's going on, guys? Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me and let me hang out with you guys, and just giving my opinions on a few things. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Wish you had you on here for the whole show, but hey, I'll take some rather than none, though. This is a special treat right here. Usually, you make your presence felt via the phones, but you're alive in living color, as they say.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, man, but getting back into it here, before we get into topics, I want to quickly tell you that this segment is brought to you by KC Kitchen Center out there in historic Bearden. Go see Kelly and the crew, 5902 Kingston Pike, right across from Food City. They're open 8 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 2 on Saturday. If you watched any of the Periscope this last week that me and Justin were a part of, one of the things Kelly talked about is if you had been planning on making an outdoor kitchen for your home, right now is the perfect time to go ahead and get that planned. You want to go ahead and make sure you have plenty of ample time to get all the logistics of that done. If you would like an outdoor kitchen, I know that might be on some people's list for their home before the warm weather gets back here, whenever it does get back here. I mean, we live in East Tennessee. It could be here in like 3 days. So either way, give a call to KC Kitchen Center, 865-971-5800 for any of your indoor or outdoor of your home countertop needs, kitchen, bathroom, whatever it may be. They have the most options in Knoxville, granite, quartz, marble, and more. Always going to be at the best value. Check them out online, kckitchencenter.com. You can browse the inventory over there. And again, when you call them at 865-971-5800, you will get a free in-home countertop estimate. It's KC Kitchen Center, 9,000 kitchen and bath makeovers and counting. Senior Bowl happening a few days from now down there in Mobile, Alabama, this Saturday, 2:30 kickoff. It's been a lot of fanfare about some players to watch all from around college football for the Senior Bowl. Justin Herbert of Oregon is definitely one of the most intriguing prospects to keep an eye on for that Senior Bowl. But sticking around here in Knoxville, though, you do have two players who are very important for sure to keep an eye on. That is Juwan Jennings on offense, and also you got Daryl Taylor on defense as well. Jeremy Pruitt actually down in Mobile today, paying them a quick visit. Did you know that his new child has arrived, by the way?
No, congrats to Pruitt. Oh, Jeremy.
Old Jeremy, the new child is here. I don't think the name's been officially unveiled, but
didn't he tease a while back that it was going to be Jennings?
Jennings.
No. He's not going to name his kids Jennings.
He has two of his kids.
His wife said she really wanted to.
He has two of his kids named after Alabama players he coached.
Now so, is this going to be like the Lane Kiffin Knox thing?
I think it's different if it's a player connection, okay, though, versus a city, because, I mean, like I said, he does have two kids named, you know, at least one of their names are after, I forgot what players they were, but two players that he coached at Alabama on defense.
Yeah.
So maybe if it's a player thing, it's a little bit different.
Maybe so.
There is a kid out there named Knox Kiffin who lived a few first months of his life in Knoxville and never again.
Poor kid.
So that is something out there. But yeah, Juwan Jennings practicing right now for the Senior Bowl along with teammate Daryl Taylor.
I think they'll be great, man. Juwan Jennings getting a good look. I definitely think he could be a third or fourth round pick. Am I shooting him a little too high there?
Well, let me go ahead and tell you something about that, about the draft. Funny you mentioned that. Pro Football Focus, in their latest mock draft, or at least last week's mock draft, they actually had him, T. Carp, going in the first round to your Packers.
Yep.
To your Packers.
This is brand new news to me, so let me digest this for a second. Juwan Jennings, I'm trying not to be a homer. I know he's got some great intangibles, which are, you know, his height, his speed, but he can't be over like a 4.8, but they're really saying he does that much good. What are they saying, like, are his things he does that much better than anybody else?
Number one is what PFF talked about, is his ability to break tackles.
I mean,
led the nation in broken tackles.
We definitely saw that.
So they say that's invaluable. Obviously, he's great at getting 50-50 balls, and it's just the his work ethic. That's also something that's very high. That's something we know a whole lot about. I was shocked to see him that high, though.
I definitely agree. I 30 seconds ago, I was like, third or fourth round, is that too high? And you're telling me first round to my Packers? I would love to see him, the dog, in Green Bay, breaking Bears' hearts.
I mean, y'all really need another real receiver option.
We definitely do. it's not Geronimo Allison and whoever else is over there. The guy number 16 with the long hair that I have no idea who his name is. you can't. There's a reason why I don't know who his name is. So,
I mean, I don't think that's actually going to happen. As much as I would love to see it, I know as much as you would love to see it. Maybe the Packers could get him in the third or fourth round, though. He's getting drafted at this point. He's done too much good his senior season to not get drafted. He's only going to help his stock Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be definitely good. What about Daryl Taylor? Like, where do you think he falls in this draft then? Do you think the Senior Bowl, do you think he can really gain a few spots or gain a round or two?
I mean, everyone who's going to be participating in this, unless they just have an all-time bad outing, I think everyone's going to be helped, Daryl Taylor included. I don't know where he has been mocked. I know Walter Football's a really good source for, like, rating every single position player out there. Daryl Taylor's going to have to be drafted, too. I think he may be more of a third-day pick, so somewhere in between that fourth and seven, but if you're any type of NFL franchise, you can never have enough pass rushers. And he's been too consistently good that as an upperclassman his junior and senior years to go undrafted. Certainly that would not happen. This is something. Tankathon. Okay, tankathon.com here. Their NFL big board. I don't know how valuable tankathon.com is, but they have Daryl Taylor's stats here. They have him mocked, actually. Higher than I thought. This is a third round selection. I think it's third. What's 81st overall?
Oh, goodness gracious.
That's third.
That is third.
It's late third.
To the Las Vegas Raiders.
Like mid to late third.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my Raiders got Daryl Taylor. Okay. alongside Max Crosby. I can dig it. So, third round. Okay.
So Tankathon just became your new thing, huh?
as of right now, yes, they are my thing.
That's awesome.
Okay, so higher than I thought he would have been. They're only going to get help tomorrow. Who do you, between either one of y'all, do you think either Juwan will help himself more Saturday, or do you think Daryl Taylor can?
I think Juwan helps himself a lot more. I mean, even just today, they had like a practice or something like that, and he was running routes, and he looked great, and there was writers talking about how good he looked and stuff like that, and I think he's going to boost his stuff up a lot this week.
Well, I mean, wasn't this entire season he was still coming off of that injury, and he didn't look like the Jennings that we had really known, and he did great this season, but he definitely wasn't the big, overpowering Juwan Jennings that we knew, and we knew he could be. So, you know, becoming a year off of that injury and just, you know, getting back in football shape, I think people will be definitely surprised, and it's still incredible to me that Pro Football Focus has him in the first round, though.
I will be, yeah, that's incredible to me too. And you can only hope that that will actually become reality. I'm going to go ahead and just be the outlier here, just to be the contrarian here. I think Daryl Taylor might help himself more Saturday, because I've just found these comments here. So a few weeks ago, you had Jim Nagy, who is actually the executive director of the Senior Bowl. He called Daryl Taylor, quote, a physical specimen.
Interesting.
That's the executive director of the Senior Bowl.
You know those guys at the Senior Bowl, all those NFL gurus that go and watch those guys. They love all those, you know, how big are your hands, how tall are you, how long's your wingspan, all that stuff. They absolutely love it. And if he checks those boxes, you know that he's going to move higher and higher and higher. So
I mean, Josh Allen got drafted off his height and size of his hands.
Exactly. Right?
That shot him up.
Oh, you just wait until they measure Daryl Taylor's hands. He's got the frame on his side, 6'4", 256.
He's a monster. He's huge.
He has that on his side already. And also, I got this quote actually from a fan sided blog with thefirstpick.com, which is centered around the NFL draft. Felix Davila, or Davila, sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, Felix, but he had this article 3 weeks ago. Daryl Taylor, the sleeper edge rusher of the 2020 draft.
Ooh.
You tell me Daryl Taylor's going to be one of those sleeper dark horse guys this draft?
It definitely could be. Man, wouldn't that be so awesome to see him next year just absolutely having a breakout year for some team, and then talking about like, what? Where did this guy come from? We didn't even know he was that good. So it'd be great.
As long as it isn't the Raiders.
As long as it is the Raiders.
No.
As long as it is.
Hey, my Packers could definitely use somebody on the outside.
Maybe we can find someone to finally get his hands on Patrick Mahomes, Tucker.
Good luck.
Like, I don't know that person exists.
See how that went for the Titans.
I saw exactly how that went for the Titans. Hey, a man can dream, though.
You feel free.
Thank you, Tucker. Let a man dream.
I'll support your dreams.
Thank you.
They just can't come true.
Shifting gears, I'm still upset about that play. That, as Bear called it, that twinkle toes through the tulips. Like, what was that?
It was magic. Mahomes magic.
The guy, seriously, I've watched that play 10 times. And he's not even running. He just sidesteps a guy, stiff arms another guy, jukes another guy, and just walks into the end zone.
And it was like the subtleties in the run, though. Like, whenever he got past the first defender, because he just outran him to the edge. And then that one had the angle on him, and then he shifted his body, his shoulders, like he was going to make a throw across the field. And that slowed the guy down enough to where he just turned the corner. And then nobody wanted to tackle him at the end zone. I'm not sure what happened there.
I love it too, Tucker. I'm sorry to say this. It was a fantastic play. The Titans were just really bad at tackling on that play.
No, they're phenomenal. He's just the best player on the field at all times.
My goodness.
I mean, I can't really disagree with that either. Quick college basketball scoreboard update here from your 7 o'clock slate of games. Georgia actually hanging tough a little bit up in Rupp Arena midway through – well, actually a little past midway through the first half. Kentucky 24, Georgia 20. You have a top 15 matchup in the Big East. Villanova 16, Butler 11 midway through the first half. You have number 21 Illinois on the road at Purdue up by 3. Number 17 Maryland's actually down 10 at Northwestern in the first half. And Tennessee's next opponent, Kansas, taking care of rival Kansas State right now, 26-11. They lead with 8 minutes to go before halftime there. So that's your quick scoreboard updates. So, guys, here's where we sit right now. Since I didn't really expect for another person to be here besides me and Tucker, here's what we usually do, Teak. Well, I don't know why I'm explaining this to you. You know about the birthday game.
Let's do it.
I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm preaching to the choir. Tucker.
I was about to say,
Okay. Here's what we can do. And Tucker, I'll let you decide what you want to do. When we come back, we can either talk about what I mentioned earlier about the LA City Council having a resolution for the MLB to award the Dodgers the last two World Series championships, or we can do what we usually do at 7:30, play the birthday game. Now, I only usually do this when there's two people who can play against each other. What the birthday game is, it's simple. It's January 21st. I look up birthdays of famous people, celebrities, historical figures, whatever. I give you the age. I give you their nationality. And I start ringing off hints until someone just blurts out the full name.
I would be interested in doing that for sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Wow. We got some history here. Tucker playing the birthday game for the first time, and we have T-Cart playing the birthday game for the first time. Let's do it on the other side. Birthdays coming up next. And in case you're just now joining us here, or in case you're watching on Periscope, you're wondering, like, who is this other person, like, in the room here? We are joined by T-Carp. We are joined by a longtime guest, friend of the station, T-Carp, who's made his presence felt in hour number two of Overtime. And now, it's kind of special here because I just had to scramble this together. Didn't know it was going to happen, but I'm happy it's happening, though. We will be playing the birthday game today for the first time for both T-Carp and intern Tucker. Are you guys ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
I've explained the rules. We know how it goes. T-Cart definitely knows how it goes. He's been listening for a while. It's not a great day for quantity. I only found two that I felt were fair. Okay. Even though I knew a couple more, I will say today would have been the birthday of Jam Master Jay from Run DMC.
Wouldn't have got that one.
Okay, nah. That's what I thought would have been fair. And also, it's like a guilty pleasure of mine. Today is the 44th birthday of Baby Spice from the Spice Girls, Emma.
That would have been a tough guess, too.
I'm a fan of the Spice Girls, like, unironically.
That's all right.
I'm unashamed. Unashamed. They made some hits, man. But I found two ones that I think are fair. So two birthdays, and I got this day in history. So best two out of three. Best of luck to you, gentlemen. Here we go.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
Real quick.
Yes.
So this is, you're just describing, and the first one to blurt it out.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if this was, okay, let's go.
First one to blurt it, here we go. He is 57 today. He is 57. He is a Nigerian-American former NBA player. He played from 1984 to 2002. He was a center for mainly...
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No.
Manute Bol.
No. He played for the Rockets and the Raptors, two-time NBA champion. He's regarded as one of the best centers.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Is Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon.
Let's go!
Five slam a jamma back in Houston, too. I could have gave that as a hint, but I did not. All right. Tucker on the board first. If Tucker gets this birthday, he wins the game. If T-Carp gets this, we do our This Day in History tiebreaker. Alrighty. This person would have been 151 today.
Oh, God.
Would have been 151. Let me get his... Okay. Got his profile up here. He was a Russian mystic. He was a self-proclaimed holy man. He befriended the family of Emperor Nicholas II. He's really mostly known for the amount of times he was sought to be killed by the Soviets, but he kept basically coming back to life. He had a beard in like...
I'm working this out in my brain.
I've got no idea.
I would have thought you would have known this, though.
I probably
should have. It is history.
Charles Darwin.
It's not Charles Darwin. not even close.
That's way old, right?
I mean, well, so Charles Darwin was English and not Russian mystic. But
solid point.
Good guess.
English-Russian mystic. Is it Nostradamus?
It's not Nostradamus.
That's not.
He was a lot older.
Russian?
Y'all have heard his last name before. I swear. That's why I thought this was fair.
Hold on.
He was finally, assassinated. Well, he wasn't assassinated by the Soviets. Russian nobles, whatever.
I'm at a loss, my friend.
Ah!
I'm here doing a math problem, trying to get the time period in my head.
So it's definitely got to be 1850s, right?
He was born in 1869.
Okay.
He was assassinated in December 1916.
Francis Ferdinand.
It's not Franz Ferdinand.
Oh, that was he was assassinated in that kind of, I don't know.
It's Archduke Ferdinand. It was the World War I,
Grigory Rasputin.
Rasputin. Okay, that makes sense.
See, I would have thought, I would have heard, assassinated.
Who doesn't have extensive knowledge on Rasputin?
Yeah, exactly. These old Russian,
I didn't say you had to have knowledge. I thought, even in my high school history class, we said something about Rasputin. I would have thought, isn't he on an epic rap battles of history?
I'm sure, but I've not listened to those since I was in eighth grade.
Okay, never mind. It wasn't as fair as I thought it was.
Okay, let's just do another one.
Okay. So, Tucker's got the 1-0 lead, but just because no one got Rasputin, we'll do a This Stained History. If T-Cart gets This Stained History question, I'll find another This Stained History question. So here we go. Okay, let's go back just 11 years to 2009. On this day in 2009, this vehicle manufacturer officially passed GM as the planet's biggest car maker.
Toyota.
It is Toyota!
Wow.
Intern Tucker gets the dub.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tucker, you didn't give me a chance to even think about that. I
didn't really think about it either. I just know they're Asian, right? That's an Asian car company.
Japanese.
So, I mean, I know, like, they've took over cars.
God. But just slam dunking all over me, man. Golly.
No biggie.
It was a good effort. This was not a great day for birthdays. Like, I had to pull out Rasputin. Like, Akiva Lodge one was, like, the only fair one, like, y'all would have gotten. So, this is a decent day in history, by the way. I could have used 3 years ago was the first Women's March. Lenin died in 1924. King Louis XVI was executed in 1793.
Now we're talking.
Oh, they brought the guillotine. They brought that guillotine. Vietnam War, the Battle of Khe Sanh begins, 1968. Let's see here. John McEnroe was disqualified from the Australian Open in 1990.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Better this day in history than birthday day.
It happens sometimes.
But you put up a good fight.
I appreciate it.
You did put up a good fight. T-Cart, before we end this segment, since you were here in hour one to talk Tennessee basketball, what do you think about Tennessee Ole Miss tonight? Do you think we keep up the consistent play, and do you have a score prediction?
I'd really like to see Tennessee continue to feed it through Bowden to the big guys. I'd like to see Pons. I'd like to see Fulkerson get a lot. That dribble drive and just getting – I don't know, just getting Bowden to the basket, getting him making easy, consistent shots, not shooting, not putting up those threes, those garbage threes that he has in the past couple games. Score prediction, this is hard.
I will help you out here. We are a 6.5-point favorite, if that helps.
Okay, I'm going Tennessee 65, Ole Miss 60.
Okay, I like it. Nice little tight contest, but as long as you get the win, that's all I care about. You really do not need to lose to this Ole Miss team that's on a 5-game losing streak. It would be a very, very bad look.
So I did want to talk about this. You look at the Vols, and you see, even with this up-and-down season, 11-6. You know, that's you start thinking about that, and, you know, we can definitely criticize Barnes a lot about his recruiting the past couple of years. You know, you could say Grant and Admiral were just special players, but I'm in that camp, but to kind of squeak out this 11-6 season so far, can we, you know, are we a tournament team? Do you think now we can be that tournament team if Vescovi keeps coming on, if Euros kind of puts up a nice little game? He maybe not double-digit points, but that double-digit rebounds, that being that big guy in the paint, maybe working it through him inside-out type of thing. What do you think?
Right now, this was Selection Sunday, and, I mean, record aside, I mean, let's just say, I don't know, what's a comparable record for end of the season for what we're at now, at 19 wins, 18 wins, something like that? We're a bubble team right now. We are teetering on the edge right now. I think the biggest thing that would help Tennessee get the conference wins that they need to get, and hell, maybe once you face some of these tougher conference opponents later in the season, I mean, when you have to play Kentucky at home, when you have to play Florida, when you have to play Arkansas, what can help you get those upsets is stick to your best identity, which is what you saw in the win at Mizzou, what you definitely saw in the win at Vanderbilt, which is defense first, force some turnovers, get some quick baskets out. That you want to make sure you consistently have a double transition double digit transition point night games. You want to make sure that you're really just getting to the free throw stripe a lot too, because I know that might sound simple, but you have struggled a whole lot in just getting free throw attempts. And you only had 14 Saturday. Barnes would probably like that to be closer to 20, but you made 13 of them. You made 13 of them. You are a good free-throw shooting team, all things considered. So get to the line some more.
I think that would definitely be it. And looking at the standings, we're only 3-2 in the conference. So, I don't know. We just need that win streak. We need that win streak to continue. I'm looking here at all the streaks, and, you know, you got LSU with a 6, and but the rest of them, you know, they're a 1-win or 2-win, you know, win streak. So, I just keep it going. You know, we're not that far down.
You're only stringing a couple wins together away from having all the bracketologists looked at you a whole lot more favorably, because 11-6 sounds kind of mediocre, but let me tell you that defending national champion Virginia is 12-6.
There you go.
I mean, it's just a couple of game difference here. Let's look at the quick upcoming conference schedule before we hit this break, because so I think we all know Kansas is going to be a loss. I mean, I would love a win, but we know what's probably going to happen. Make sure you get a win tonight. The next conference game you have is home again against a very, very beatable Texas A&M team. So, whatever happens against Kansas, win tonight, win next week, 5-2 in conference. You're
right.
Feeling so much better about 5-2. You would love to be 5-2 going into your next road trip, because tough environment at Mississippi State and then very tough environment at Alabama after that. Then it gets even tougher because you're back at home for the next two games after that, but it's Kentucky and Arkansas.
I'm just looking at this Vanderbilt game on the 18th as a penciled-in win.
Oh, it better be.
Yeah, but
it better be.
I don't know, man. We always seem to do well against Kentucky, no matter what team that we have. I feel like we always can have their numbers.
Oh,
so,
I think we can beat them at home.
Yeah. I know it sounds absolutely crazy, but
Kentucky also lost to Evansville.
There you go.
Don't forget that.
So
I had forgot that. Yeah.
Don't forget that.
Golly.
So let's not count that out. Yeah, like you said, Kansas, if you pull that one off, that's one for the records. Let's just be straight with each other. And Mississippi State, Alabama, I don't know. But I do feel confident about that Kentucky game. I don't know why. I just keep looking at that. I'm like, I'm not scared of them. So
no, I wouldn't be either. You've won the last four times at home. I wouldn't be scared either.
But I'm definitely looking tonight to see some more dominant play. I want to see what we saw in the back half of the last game. I want to see that. Let's just come out and just beat a team. Let's can be consistent the entire way through. I'd like to see that.
I'd love to see people out tonight. That would be fantastic. 865-546-8200. We got one more segment to go until the end of your Tuesday edition of Overtime here. We will be back to wrap up the show right after this. Alrighty, final segment of this Tuesday edition of Overtime. Again, be sure after the game to tune in to Voluntary Reaction. Russell Smith will be on the call for that one, joined by Hayden Wallen, who will be producing that one again. I don't know if there's going to be a third person on the crew, but, I mean, got Russell and Hayden there. They will be taking care of it after the game ends tonight, a little after, like, 10, 15, after 11, something like that. They will be on Voluntary Reaction, so be sure to stick around for that one. While I'm looking up this extra story, I guess you would describe it here. While I'm doing that, I want to tell you to also be sure to get your bets in at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio. Sign up using the promo code Knoxville. MyBookie will double your first deposit bonus. Terms, conditions, rollovers do apply with that, so just be aware of that as well. They got the most ways to win. They have the most prop bets in the business. It's MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. So we go to where we go to here. Well, I don't even have the context of this here. This is just a video, but apparently, okay. So this is like some video of some different Snapchats here. Apparently, and I don't even know what college this is at, but a college professor called the cops on one of his students because he refused to change seats during class.
Seems reasonable.
The cops?
I can hear that 911 call now. I mean, just So let's try to figure out some context here. Was the kid sitting like in the teacher's seat, or was it like he was in like the front row? What was going on? Like, I maybe can see it if the guy's like in class, or just like he takes a seat, like sits it right beside the professor or something like that, trying to be disturbing. Like, I can maybe see the hey, call security, but calling the police if the guy just won't move.
I'm trying to get the context in the background because I am getting this from Barstool, and they give like no context in this blog. But let me just go by the Snapchat video. So the first one has a caption: "Professor really called the police because this kid wouldn't change seats in the middle of class." And you see it, professor's like leading this one uniformed police officer, and they're pointing out the student. And this is like campus police or what? And they're just having a discussion. What else is up here? It seems like it's the whole thing. So they're having this discussion. Professor is kind of a boomer.
Of course.
Not going to lie about there.
Of course.
I Googled this, and the only story I get is from November of 2018. Is this the same story? Are they just now finding out about this?
I've definitely seen things like this before.
Barstool's also, I've seen them take super old news and then post another video of it.
This isn't the same thing as this story, though, because I clicked on the story from 2018. It's something completely different that happened at University of Texas San Antonio. So that was that story. So I have no clue where this one happened.
So do you think the professor just went over like, I do not like you sitting there. You must move to the back row.
It had to be. But you need to be charged with a crime if you call cops on that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like, again, you know, there's people dying of heart attacks, like, on the line. The 911 operator's like, hello? Yes? He what, sir? He won't change seats. Oh, okay, well, we'll send an officer right there. What room 202? Okay, we'll make sure he gets there immediately. Like, really?
You know what that makes me think of from this past weekend? Y'all have seen Target Tory, right?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
The dude said that he called the cops. He said, if I didn't call 911, I called a certain number to get my complaint.
Oh, my goodness. So we've all, I've definitely saw it. You definitely saw it. So this guy, he's done it before. He did it with what was it, Walmart and that Nintendo thing. Like, how big of a, I'm on radio, so how big of a jerk do you have to be to know, like, that thing's like a penny. That's like a display. You know all that. And how big of a turd do you have to be to ruin someone's day, but not only ruin it, but try to publicly shame them? So good for her. I think she got, $30,000?
Yeah, great for her.
So I'm glad something good came out of it, but that guy just needs to go away. Like, some people really take themselves way too seriously on the internet,
and
it's frustrating.
Well, man, T-Cart, we appreciate you jumping in on here, man. It's been fantastic. Couldn't get the birthday win. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Dunked on.
You will probably have another time to try again with that, though. But we appreciate you coming in, man. Appreciate intern Tucker for running the board as well.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
For Tucker and T-Carp, I'm Tanner Carson. We will join you again tomorrow at 6 o'clock for more overtime. Remember, voluntary reaction coming up after the game, so be sure to tune in for that. Until then, we will see you tomorrow. And I won't forget you.